You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Happy, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. We would not be here if it weren't for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This week, my little boy G, who's eight, he got power. I got an email at the first of the week. A friend of mine said, hey, I've got a mower. It's a John Deere tractor mower, 125. It's pretty old. It still mows good. Do you know anybody who needs a mower? And immediately I thought, yes, I do. I know an eight-year-old kid who needs a mower. So I told G, I said, hey, G, how about we go and get a mower so you can start mowing? His eyes lit up, big smile on his face. He could not wait. He asked me every day, when are we going to get the mower? Finally, we made the trip to my buddy's house. We loaded the mower up. We brought it home. When he got off the trailer, he cranks it up, and he has that throttle, and he fires it up, and he can hear the horsepower come on. And his eyes just light. He is so excited. And so I'm showing him how to push the pedal. Now he's having to push the pedal, but as he pushes it, his little butt comes off the seat and he doesn't weigh enough. So he's trying to like hold the seat down and try to go because he's eight and it's not really made for an eight-year-old. But I'm like, hey, this is good. He's got power. He's ready to go. So it's kind of late. He turns on the lights. He mows to like 9 o'clock around our grain bins. He's just mowing. Anything he can get his hands on, he is mowing. Why? Because he's got power. Now the problem is, you know, this week it rained pretty much every day. So G would get home from school. Dad, wouldn't it be to mow? Little buddy, you can't mow today. It's raining. So he'd be sad. And they said, well, Dad, can I just ride it around? I'm like, well, sure. If you want to ride around, that's great. So he would get on his little John Deere 125 and rev it up. And he would get his sis on there. And they would just do circles around the driveway for hours. Circles. I'm just putting gas in. And he's just going around. And then he decided, hey, Dad, can we take this thing down the road? So I get behind him on our meal, and he's in front, and we're going down the road to Mimish and Papaw's house. We go to the bottoms. I mean, we're going everywhere on this mower. Why? Because he's got power. And I'm excited as a dad because I just love it that he loves it so much. Now, we don't have a problem yet with the mower, but we will have a problem if in a couple of weeks I come home from work and the grass is 2 feet tall and G is doing donuts in the driveway. We're going to have a problem if that starts happening, right? Because G got power, but power comes with purpose. Hey, G, you got a mower, but mowers got to mow. That's what you're supposed to do with a mower. You're supposed to mow with them. So he's got power, but he needs to also have purpose. And I think what Jesus is going to do in Acts chapter 1 is he's going to remind the disciples and also us that, yes, we have power, but our power comes with purpose. That we are supposed to be doing something. We are empowered with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. And we're going to see, just like mowers got to mow, Christians got to go. That's what we are supposed to be doing. So I just want to ask, as we get ready to read this text, are you perhaps like G this morning? You've got power. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, but in reality, you're just doing donuts in the driveway. You're enjoying the Spirit. You're walking with the Spirit. You're in tune with the Spirit, which are all good things. But do you also realize there is a yard that needs mowing? There is a harvest that needs reaping. See, mowers got to mow, but Christians got to go. And we're going to see that we were given power for the purpose to be witnesses, to proclaim the gospel here, there, and everywhere. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Acts chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. If you would stand out of reverence for the word of God, here's what we read. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Father God, I pray that you would help us to remember that our power comes with purpose. Don't let us just stand and gaze up, but let us be empowered to go and bear witness for you. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can be seated. If you notice, as we read our text, it starts with a question. So the disciples asked Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, at this time or when are you going to restore the kingdom of what? Israel. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Now, let's think about the context just a little bit, because what we saw last week is Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God for 40 days. Think about that. For 40 days, Jesus has been teaching them periodically about the kingdom of God. And after 40 days, here's their follow-up question. "Hey, Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom of what? Israel." Did you notice a subtle shift there, a subtle difference? Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God. They want to know about the kingdom of Israel. You know what I've noticed? Our questions often show our desires. The things we ask reveal what we want. Like if my kids say, "Hey, Dad, are you busy?" They don't just want to know if I'm busy. They want something from me, right? They want me to go play. They want me to take them somewhere. They want me to do something, right? When I ask Evie Kate, "Hey, Evie, are you done with that burger?" I'm not asking, is she done with the burger? I'm trying to ask because I want the other half of it, right? Our questions often reveal our wants. And here, after 40 days about the kingdom of heaven, their burning follow-up question is, "Hey, what about the kingdom of Israel?" In other words, Jesus is trying to teach them about the kingdom of heaven, and all they think about is the kingdom of them, the kingdom of themselves, the kingdom of Israel. "Hey, Jesus, what about us? We know the prophecies. You're supposed to fulfill Israel. The Messiah is supposed to make Israel to rule with a rod all the nations. And hey, what about Israel?" And I think for us, we can be guilty of the same thing. Jesus wanting us to get the kingdom of God, we can interpret that as Jesus wants the kingdom of us. And we can ask about our own kingdom. And sometimes our prayers can sound really good. "Jesus, revive your church. Jesus, heal our nation." That can be a good prayer, but can also be a very bad prayer. The reason it can be a bad prayer is because we can have wrong motivation. See, sometimes we want Jesus to revive the church and heal our nation so that we will be more comfortable in our church and in our nation. That's why I want Jesus to move and work. Why? Because I don't feel comfortable anymore in America, because it seems like culture is getting a little bit away from the Bible. So, Jesus, will you heal culture? Will you heal America so that I can be comfortable in America? So that I will feel better. So that I will be on the right side of some of these issues. Will you just do something so that I won't feel so awkward when I go out? See, that's a wrong motivation. Jesus, do something for me. But instead, a proper prayer would be, "Hey, Jesus, revive the church, heal the nation." Why? For the sake of your glory, so that your gospel can go to the nations. See, here there is a people that are saying, "Hey, Jesus, when are you going to restore Israel?" But Jesus, in this context, wants to take 11 Israelites and go rescue the nations. See the difference there? 11 Israelites, "Hey, Jesus, when are you going to make Israel great again?" He says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take Israel to rescue the nations. You Israelites, with the band of brothers and sisters, you guys are going to go and reach the nations. They want restoration. Jesus wants rescue. And see, sometimes we can be more focused on our own restoration that we forget the rescue mission God has given us. So notice how Jesus responds. He says this, "It is not for you to know the seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority." In other words, they're worried about what they shouldn't be worried about. They should be worried about something else. What should they be worried about? Look with me in verse 8. He says, "But." So there's a contrast. You're worried about the restoration of Israel. You're worried about your life becoming better. But there is something else you should be looking to. And that's not just restoration. That's actually rescue for the whole nations. And we're going to see that play out. As we look at this next verse, verse 8. This is the key verse of all of Acts. In a big way, this is the table of contents. Everything that's going to happen in the book of Acts is shown and previewed in this verse. The disciples, "When are you going to restore Israel?" I'm going to restore you and send you to go rescue the nations. That's what Jesus wants them to remember. And here's what Jesus says. Notice with me in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's a table of contents to the whole book of Acts. They're going to receive power. When does that happen? It happens at Pentecost. We're going to get to the next chapter and we're going to see this lived out. At Pentecost, the Spirit is going to come. And then it says you're going to be my witnesses. So we're going to have Jerusalem first. That's going to be chapters 2-7. They're going to witness in Jerusalem. And then Judea and Samaria, that's chapters 8-12. And then chapters 13-28, we're going to see them witness to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, he's saying, I will do these things. And we see through Acts, Jesus fulfilling what he tells them to do. So here's the problem. I think these Israelites forgot Israel's true mission. They thought the gospel is just about them, but the gospel is about all people everywhere. And they should have got that, because if you think back to Isaiah 49 verse 6, here's what it says. I will make you, God talking to Israel, as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. See, the plan for Israel all along was not just about Israel, but that Israel would be a light to the nations, that Israel would bring salvation here, there, and everywhere to all peoples. But here the disciples, after his death, burial, and resurrection, just before his ascension, they seem to forget that. So notice what we see in this text. We see two promises. The first promise is this. It's in verse 8. You will receive power. Man, that sounds good, right? Like, what if God came up to you and said, I'm going to give you some power. Like, how much do you want? Do you want a little bit of power or a whole lot of power? I'd be like, give me a lot. That sounds great. Like, power from God? Yes, please. That sounds good. I could do with some power in my life. I don't know what to do with it, but it would be cool, right? So Jesus is telling them, you will have power. But then there's a modifier to that statement. Where is this power coming from? What is it about? He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the power is going to be the Spirit in them, working through them. Jesus has already talked to them about this in the Gospels. When I leave, I'm going to send a helper. Right? He's going to guide you. He's going to tell you everything that I meant to tell you, everything that you forget. He's going to lead and guide and direct, and you're going to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, we see this actually happen, that Jesus, through his Spirit, builds his church through ordinary men and women. See, one of the coolest things we see in the book of Acts is these are ordinary people that do extraordinary things. And the question is why? Because they have power. In other words, what we see is Jesus talking to 11 dudes who end up changing the world. How does that happen? How do 11 dudes change the world? Here's how it happens. They have help. The help is the Holy Spirit. They have the help of the Holy Spirit that through these 11 and through the apostles, men and women go out and proclaim the gospel, and they have help through the Spirit, and Jesus builds his church through his Spirit in the lives of men and women. And guess what? The same is actually true today. That Jesus is still building his church. He is still forwarding his kingdom through men and women just like you and just like me, who are empowered with the Holy Spirit, who become witnesses to the things of God. He's still on mission. He's still moving. Their mission is also our mission. So they get power, right? Just like little G, he's got power. He's revving it up. He's like, yes, let's go. Power, donuts, this is great. But power comes with what? Purpose. So they've got power. What's their power for? Why are they given the Spirit? Jesus continues the second promise, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, this power comes with purpose. There's a purpose to it. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to get the Holy Spirit, not just to live a life connected to God, that is part of it. Not just so you can put to death sin, that is part of it. Not just so you can walk in the Spirit, that is part of it. But there's more. You're given the Spirit to be a witness. That's why we've named the entire series, We Are Empowered Witnesses. That's what the book of Acts is going to show us. When you think about power and how it needs purpose, purpose also needs a plan. And Jesus gives them the plan. You're going to have power. It's going to be for purpose. You're going to be witnesses. But here is the plan. Here's what you are going to go and do. Notice what he says. He gives them this fourfold plan. First, you're going to start in Jerusalem. That's the first place you're going to go to. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And I can just imagine the disciples were excited about this. Now, it's dangerous, but also desirable. They want Jerusalem to know Jesus. So there's danger. Why is there danger? Because they just crucified Jesus 40 days ago. So they know if we go out and proclaim Jesus, we could die. But you know what? There's danger, but it's also desirable. I want my people to know Jesus. So I think they were excited to get to take the news of Jesus to Jerusalem. Yeah, give us power and we'll go to Jerusalem. We will proclaim the word to Jerusalem. And then he says, and Judea. And I can imagine then they're like, okay, yeah, that's great too. Like the country folk need Jesus, right? Like, yeah, we're going to the city, Jerusalem, but hey, the country folk, like they need Christ too. So when we get done with the city, we'll go out into the country and we will tell all those who live in Judea, all those Jews who are farmers and want to live out in the country, we'll tell them about Christ too. Sounds good. We're game. Give us the power. And then Jesus says, and Samaria. And I can imagine at that moment they said, what? Hold up. Let's get back to the restoration of Israel. That sounds better. What are you talking about, Samaria? Because we know from the Gospels that Jews don't have dealing with Samaritans and vice versa. They did not like each other. The Jews would walk around Samaria so they didn't have to pass through it just in case they ran into a Samaritan. These two groups of people did not like each other. And now Jesus is saying to these 11 men from Galilee who were Israelites, hey, the mission includes Samaria. You're going to have to go to a people where there's some racial tension between you. But you're going to go. And you're going to bear witness. You're going to proclaim the gospel. And I can imagine their thought is, but what if they respond? Like, what if they want to follow you? Won't they mess everything up? Won't the Samaritans who aren't like us, won't they mess this whole thing up? So I have a feeling there was some tension when Jesus said, in Samaria. But he didn't stop there. Instead, he said, and I had to imagine all the disciples were like, wait, what? There's an and? Who else could be included? We just included Samaria. He says, and to the ends of the earth. That's like a hold on, Jesus. Wait, what? We did not sign up for this. We didn't agree to this. You want us to go where? You want us to go to those people who barbecue? No, this doesn't happen. Like those are unclean, filthy Gentiles. Do you know the worship they do? Do you know the things they do? We follow the Ten Commandments. They don't follow any of them. Like, we avoid them. We don't touch them. We wash our hands when we're around them. We don't love the Gentiles. We try to stay away from the Gentiles. And you want us to go to engage them? To take the things we want Jerusalem to become and to take it out to all of the nations? See, what Jesus is doing is he's blowing their minds. Not only do you have power, not only do you have purpose, but there is a plan. And the plan is to get the gospel here, there, and everywhere. And that was always the plan. They just had forgotten it. Because we see in Genesis 12, the very birth of Israel, right? God calls Abraham, who becomes the father of all the Israelites, he calls Abraham and he says, in you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. All the families of the world are going to be blessed through you. But somehow Israel forgot that and they thought, you know what? God is really just about restoring us. But instead, what God wants to do is to use them to rescue the entire world for his glory. See, it's about to the ends of the earth. So that brings us sort of into this text because we too have this same purpose and plan. We too, as Hardin Baptist Church, if you are a believer, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been empowered, and because you're empowered, you are now a witness. So if you're a witness, then what is the plan? See, some of us, we're empowered, we've forgotten the purpose. We're like, gee, we're just riding the lawnmower around the circle like, woohoo, this is fun. And there's a yard that needs mowing. There's a harvest that needs getting. Like, mower's got to mow. Christian's got to go. Like, let's do this. We've forgotten the purpose. So now maybe this morning we've been reminded of the purpose. Oh, yeah, I've been given the Holy Spirit to be a witness. I forgot that. I need to witness. So if that's true, then what is your plan? Because Jesus gave them a plan. Here's the plan: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And see, we too, if we're going to be witnesses, we got to think through our plan. And I don't know what your plan is going to be, a little bit unique, but I want to think through those four categories to, okay, how can I go, how can I be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? See, I think Jerusalem for you could represent that place that you are, the place that you live, work, and play. The places you're always at, the places you just naturally go, how can you, as empowered by the Holy Spirit, be a witness to those people around you? Well, that would first start with praying for them. And then secondly, it would be looking for opportunities to share things about Jesus with them, to bring up conversations about Christ around them so that you can witness to how good Jesus is so that they could hear the gospel. So first is about bringing the gospel here. Those places your feet are going to go this week, your live, play, and work. You are a witness for Christ. And you're not alone. You have help. God in you, working through you. But then also there's that Judea and Samaria. There's those places that you're not naturally going to go to, but you have to make effort to go to. Maybe this would be a certain community that you think just needs some work and love and gospel presence. So you're going to go and drive to that community to spend time with those people. Maybe this is crossing a culture. Maybe it's crossing to a different ethnic group so that you can think about, okay, how do I reach this group of people for the sake of the gospel that live in my own context and community? Where is my Judea and Samaria? Where are those places that it might be a little awkward for me to go, but by going there, I can be a witness for Christ, and Christ will use me there. So you got to come up with a plan. How can I pray for that? How can I go towards that? But then there's that to the ends of the earth. What does that look like? We have to make a plan for it. How are you going to be engaged in taking the gospel to all nations? How are you going to pray for the nations? How are you going to give to the nations? And how are you going to go to the nations? Well, praying's pretty easy. Giving's pretty easy. You just give to the nations. As a church, we give to the nations. 10% goes to the cooperative program that funds the mission organizations. We support many, many missionaries locally in this church that are in the nations. So if you've given any, you've been part of giving to the nations, but how can you do that more specifically and pointedly? How do you have a plan for your giving? But then what about going? How does God want you to go to the nations? Maybe for some of you that means a vacation. A vacation from work so that you can go, travel somewhere. See, to the nations involves like a suitcase. You have to pack a suitcase to get there. And see, we're not standing in Jerusalem looking out into the nations. Instead, we are the nations. We are standing in the nations who are commanded to go to the nations. So how are you going to let the gospel go to the nations? Well, it's praying, it's giving, but it might also mean going. It might mean taking a week off work to go somewhere else to share the gospel, going to another country, another context that involves a long ride or a plane to get there. To some of you, it's, I need to give up a vacation to go and proclaim the gospel to the nations. But maybe for some of you, it's not a vacation. Maybe for some of you, God is calling you to change your vocation, to relocate somewhere else so that you can reach a people in the nations who don't know Christ. I don't know what God's calling you to. I don't know the plan for your life, but I know that if you have power, you have purpose, and if you have purpose, you got to have a plan. What is the plan? How am I going to get the gospel to my Jerusalem? How am I going to get the gospel to my Samaria and Judea? How am I going to get the gospel to the nations? And in all three of those things, we can think through those three categories. How do I give? How do I go? And how do I pray? Because we can do those things in order to get the gospel to the nations. This was their mission, but it's also our mission. That we too are supposed to engage in the same things. But some of you are like, I don't know, that's scary. I don't know if I can do what they did. You can, because you have the same power. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I mean, we're like David with a slingshot, right? There's a giant in front of us. There's all these fears and anxieties of what if these things could happen. But you know how David stood before a giant in front of him? Because he knew there was a bigger giant behind him. You know who that bigger giant is? God. So the slingshot, he stood in front of a giant because he knew there's a bigger giant behind him. And for us, when we think about taking the gospel to somebody else, yes, there are giants in front of us. There are so many fears and anxieties, but there is a bigger giant in us working through us. And that's God through his Holy Spirit. In other words, you got a little help, right? G's got a throttle that he's pushing. When he hits that throttle, it goes. But power comes with purpose. The purpose is to be a witness. And if you're going to live on purpose, you got to have a plan. What is my plan to reach the nations with the gospel? And then what happens next, I could only imagine it, just being there. I mean, just imagine if you're in the context of the disciples, they've just heard about their power, they've heard about their purpose, they've heard about the plan, and then all of a sudden what the scripture says is that Jesus, as he was teaching, he was lifted up. So all of a sudden, like, lifted up. The Father is taking his son back to heaven. He's lifted up, and he goes into a cloud, and of course the cloud, the imagery of the Old Testament, if you got a tabernacle, the cloud of glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord. You've got all of those scenes of just on Sinai, the cloud, the glory of God. So Jesus is raised up in his glory, and I can just imagine being a disciple, being there. I mean, like, how long did it take for them to figure out Jesus was floating? Have you ever thought about that? Like, they're watching Jesus, like he's teaching them. He's been teaching for 40 days, so I imagine some of these lessons are getting repetitive. All they're not getting it, he's teaching, and I can imagine maybe some of them are nodding off a little bit. Like, at this point in the sermon, you're like, okay, bro, let's wrap it up. Let's go. You got 5 minutes. Come on. Like, they're probably thinking that to Jesus, too. Like, all right, I'm just listening and listening. Whoa! Like, what? Hey, Peter, look! Like, when did they realize that Jesus just starts floating? Like, how am I taking to figure that out? Like, who's the first one that noticed that? Like, this is, okay, crazy things are happening. He just rose from the dead. That's cool. Now he's floating up to heaven in all of his glory in a cloud. That's cool too. And so here you have these disciples, and it says that as he was lifted up, it's what did the disciples do? They gazed into heaven. It's like, of course, right? What else could you do? So here are the disciples. They're like, and they're just standing there. Like, no words are coming, no thoughts. They're just like, I mean, Peter doesn't have anything to say. Like, they can't get over this. They're just looking up. They're gazing is what the scripture says. They're just gazing up. And then all of a sudden, the text says, two men came to them. We know that they're angels because it describes what happened at the resurrection and at the tomb. So these angels come to them. And it's like the two angels appear. And the angels, I'm assuming, are kind of looking at each other like, yeah, they're not getting it. Right? So all the disciples, the 11, two angels come down. And the angels had to be like, hey, guys. Hello. Hey. Hey, hello. They're just gazing. They're just staring up. What do the angels say? Hey, men of Galilee, why are you standing and staring up? Don't you know this Jesus? He's coming back the same way he just was lifted up. In other words, translation, hey guys, what are you doing? Why are you standing staring up at heaven? Didn't you hear what he said? He is coming back and you have a mission. You have purpose. The purpose is to be his witness to all peoples everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. Why are you standing? Why are you staring? You should be going. Hello, there is a mission. Christ has told you what to do. Now it's time to lean into that. And I just want to ask, how many of us are just like the disciples? We're either preoccupied with our kingdom. Hey, Jesus, when are you going to make my life better? So we don't focus on the nations. We don't focus on our neighbors. Or secondly, we just really love gathering together and staring up, which is a good thing. We need to behold God. We need to think about God. We need to be gazing into heaven, thinking about how good Jesus is, but it doesn't stop there. And we are so good at coming together and just gazing up and singing up that we forget, oh, there's a mission that the guy who went up gave us, and he's about to come back down, and he's asked us to do things, but some of us were on our mowers just turning circles in the driveway thinking, woohoo, I got power, this is good. And the guy who comes back said, I gave you that because there's a yard to mow. There's grass that needs cutting. Mower's got to mow. Christian's got to go. You're not going. You're just waiting and staring. And I told you what to do. That is to be my witness. I empowered you to not just gaze up, to not just be inwardly focused. I empowered you to be a witness to the nations. And what we see in the rest of this chapter, you can read it when you get home. Three things happen in the remaining of the chapter before the power of the Spirit comes at Pentecost. The disciples do three things. They are devoted to prayer. They are devoted to the Word. Those are things that they're doing. And they trust God. How do we know that? Because when they gather together, it says they devote themselves to prayer. And then Peter stands up and says, hey, the word of God said that Judas was going to betray Jesus. And the word of God says we need to replace him. And you know what they did? They cast lots. And as they cast lots, they prayed, oh, Lord, show us whom your heart has chosen to be the next apostle to fulfill the obligation of the 12. And God chooses Matthias. So what do? They pray, they believe the word, and they trust God. And if we are going to carry the gospel to the nations, we've got to do those things too. We've got to be devoted to prayer, devoted to the word, and we have to have faith in God that he is going to do what only he can do through us. That's what the disciples did. And what we see is they ended up changing the world. But they had a little help. They had a lot of help. Right? G. Moses of the throttle. Whom! He's got power. But he's got power for purpose. And the purpose is not to spin around the driveway. The purpose is to do something. So I just want to ask you, if you're a believer in here, the truth is you have power. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. So if you have power, have you remembered your purpose? What is your purpose? I've given you power so that you'll be my witnesses. That's the purpose. Witness. You are an empowered witness. So the question is, are you living out your purpose? And maybe for some of you, it was this morning that you realize, you know, I've got power, but I have not been living on purpose. So what do? You get a plan. Because if you have power and you have purpose, you have to have a plan. And the plan is between you and the Lord. But here's what the plan needs to include. How do I get the gospel here, there, and everywhere? In my life, how do I participate in those three things? How do I get it here? How do I get it there? And how do I ensue that it gets it everywhere? What's my plan? Figure it out. Spend some time with the Lord. Because you've been given power for purpose. And in purpose, you need a plan. And the plan is to reach the nations for the gospel. See, he's got power. But sometimes he forgets his purpose. Sometimes he just does donuts and drives down the road. But the truth is, he was given power for a purpose, and that purpose is to mow. And see, as believers, we were given power, but it was for purpose. What is the purpose? That we would go. That we would go and be a witness, not just here, but there and everywhere. where? So are you, as an empowered believer who has the Holy Spirit living inside of you, are you living out your purpose? And do you have a plan? Because the truth is, mowers got to mow, and Christians got to go. Are you going in light of what Christ has told you to do? Let's pray together.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.